This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of ice.
I have a large hot black coffee for Adel. Large hot black coffee for Adel.
Yeah, this is Adel.
Here you go.
I'm behind you. I was kind of taking a look at the pastries back here. Couldn't see them through the glass.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, if you want to make
your apron's undone, let me just tie this.
Nope, that crossed the line. That's something I can't abide. No, if you do want to make an order just to the other side of the glass and then talk to you, just wait in line with everyone.
Let me try and walk over this counter here.
The way you came in, that can't be how you got in.
It's like I'm getting on a horse, a really tall, wide horse.
Well, you're not moving at all. Ooh. You're stuck. You're very stuck.
Okay, well, my friend will get me. Aaron?
I'm waiting for my coffee, Adel. I can't help you right now.
Are you Aaron?
Yes.
We actually, thank you. I was going to go around individually and ask. I was going to individually ask people if they were Aaron. The barista does not consent to make what you ordered.
Why?
I'm sorry, but technically what you ordered is just over the threshold, and it's too much of a milkshake. You're going to have to go to a milkshake store. We can give you the little bit of coffee, and then you can just dump it in the milkshake. What? I'm sorry?
No.
Okay. You can't. I would not sit on this floor. You have to get up off the floor.
Please. Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
This is my daughter, Erin, and if she wants a Nerds yogurt and coffee milkshake, you will make her a Nerds yogurt and coffee milkshake.
I would love to. I'm not the barista. I am the barista in training, and the barista does not consent to make that beverage.
Fine. I will just take 3 breakfast sandwiches to go for free. For my troubles.
Here's what I will say. I'll give you 2 breakfast sandwiches, one for you and one for your... And I'll say father, but no one is buying
older
that.
Friend.
Older friend, thank you. We'll give them to you for free, but then you have to leave and you can never come back.
4 breakfast sandwiches and I start working here.
And and you have to tell us your thoughts on Fleischman's in trouble.
Okay. Here's what I will say. I'll give you 3 breakfast sandwiches, you pick up weekend shifts, and I tell you my thoughts on Endgame. Not the Avengers movie, the Alex Jones documentary from 10 years ago.
Ooh. Well, then, yes.
Yes, sold, deal.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Let's Make a Deal. I'm your host, JPC. With me, as always, my co-hosts with the mo-host, Adel Refai and Aaron Keefe. Adel Refai and Aaron Keefe, how's it going?
Let's make a deal.
It's going good, Wink. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. It's JPZ. It's not Wink.
Thanks, Wink.
Margot Wink Martindale?
There was a person in Chicago who introduced themselves to me as Wink, and I thought it was a bit, and then later I realized, oh, no, that person's name is Wink, and it's not a bit. That's their name.
Yeah, there is somebody in the improv community named Wink.
Pretty cool.
There was. A butt blink and you miss
it. Then he opened his eyes. Abres los ojos.
What's up? Have you eaten any good food lately?
Aaron, I'm so glad you asked.
What's going on?
I don't know. I forgot how to be a person.
What is she talking about?
I got back from a little place called Dallas, Texas. Wouldn't recommend going there. It's not very fun. But my dad lives there, and I stayed with him for 2 nights or something, and I had some fantastic home-cooked Middle Eastern food. Mm-hmm. He made me my favorite, which is magluba which is Arabic for upside down. So if you watch Stranger Things in the Middle East, they get stuck in the Magluba.
Magluba! The guy's a freaking genius! Magluba! Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know Will Forte was from the Middle East.
Pretty upset I didn't come up with that pun. Thank you, JPC. But it's like rice and cauliflower and chicken, and you put yogurt on it, and it's fantastic. So I had some very, very good home-cooked Middle Eastern food, and I'm tickled pink. And I
wish your dad? This is shocking me to my core. Is your dad a good cook?
He's a very good cook.
Wow.
But specifically with, he can make like 8 dishes superbly.
Mm-hmm.
And then my stepmother, Sabah, does the rest of the cooking, and she's fantastic as well. But he makes hummus, he'll make magluba, he'll make stuffed zucchini, grape leaves, stuff like that.
Wow, okay.
See, I'm so glad I asked that super awkward question.
Yeah.
Aaron, I got a question for you.
What's up?
Is your dad a good cook?
Yes, my dad's a very good cook. I'd say that was pretty evenly split growing up of how much cooking my mom and dad did.
No, that's not what I asked.
Specialty?
I didn't say how often he cooks.
Well, I think that
my dad cooks every fucking day.
I will say my dad is a very good cook, but my dad is the best sandwich maker of anyone I've ever met in my life. I aspire to be like him.
Okay, so this confuses me. So what? What makes someone a good sandwich maker? Because a sandwich is technically as making a sandwich is like getting a Lego set, where it's like, my son puts together Legos better than anyone. And it's like, well, we all get the same Legos. What does that mean that he puts them together the best?
No. Making a sandwich
Aaron,
is
you're
like
spraying
writing.
Me with mace.
No. Making a sandwich is like writing a love letter.
Okay.
That
the wetter, the better.
The wetter, the better. You spray it with perfume.
So get the red ink. Okay.
Actually, my mom's dad used to always say, put a little love into it. Nothing tastes better than a sandwich that someone... It means, like, put effort into it. Try to, like, cut it nice.
What does that mean?
Put chips on the side. Really be meticulous about making it look nice and getting the details right.
Okay, so Aaron, if I may, making a great sandwich means adding sides? So if you put a pickle and chips with it, that makes a great sandwich?
I need to get on a plane right now, and I will make you the sandwich of your life.
You want to make a regular sandwich, and then be like, my baby now, can't get enough of your love, and then just like start eating the sandwich that way.
JPC, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I mean when I say putting love into a sandwich?
I think that there are some people that cook to like eat. This is going to be tasty food, and then some people care a lot about like the presentation and you know the rest of it, like the other aspect of it. Because like Adel said, you can make like a turkey and cheese sandwich, but you can also like take your time to like fold the turkey in like a way that will like make it more cushioned or whatever, you know, for the bite down to give the sandwich more like, I don't know, gravitas.
For the life of me, my fitted turkey, I cannot learn how to fold it. Anytime I get my fitted turkey out of the dryer.
That's so funny. It sucks so bad.
I get my fitted turkey out of the dryer. It is so, it is... The minute I bite into it, my mouth is like a vacuum. It goes completely dry.
First of all, give me 2 minutes. Let me come over, give me 2 minutes. I will ruin your bed. I will. it will change your life.
That's not impressive.
It'll change your life. 2 minutes?
I have more to say
bed?
About sandwiches.
It doesn't
just mean presentation. It means not cutting corners. So like if my dad is making you a tuna melt, for example.
You don't want to cut the corners
off
the sandwich.
Corners off, that's
I knew you were going to say that.
That's Smucker's Uncrustables.
Cut the crust off, but not the corners.
But if he's making you a tuna melt, he'll like put the tuna in a bowl and mix it with like sriracha and mayo and then put salt, like season that correctly. And then he'll like make sure the cheese is perfectly melted. He'll like do the best job at each step, and then he'll get you like a little juice glass of like cranberry juice and some Cape Cod potato chips on the side of the sandwich, and he'll bring it to you with a smile.
Ooh.
And it's the best. I need to make you sandwiches. I need you to understand.
Okay, Aaron, here's the plan. We will do a show in the Boston area in the next year.
Thank you.
Year and a half, 2 years, 10 years. Your dad has to make his sandwiches. Here's what I'll say is I've definitely made like leftover Thanksgiving sandwiches with leftover turkey. And I did something where it was like turkey, mustard, sliced avocado, Munster cheese. And then I did something where I was like, I buttered the outside of the bread. I think it was the outside of the bread and toasted it. And that when you butter and toast, well, you're going to toast both sides of the bread, but when you butter the outside of the toast and bite into it, for whatever reason, that makes it three times more delicious. So I will I understand now.
Hold the fuck on. What are you talking about? Butter the outside of toast.
Both sides. You butter both sides of toast.
Or butter both sides. But if you butter the outside, when you bite into it, you're getting a toothful of butter every time. And it's so tasty.
JPC, this is a very common thing, especially if you're making a little sandwich in a pan.
I know it's a common thing. That's why I'm asking why you're bringing it up. Do you think people are not buttering the top of the fucking
both
bread?
Both sides. Are you buttering both sides?
I don't normally have sandwiches where the outside is buttered. The inside, yes, but the outside, no.
So when you're making a grilled cheese, you go, let me butter the underside of this, the side that's touching the cheese, fry it in the pan, and what, ruin it? What do you think you're eating in that instance?
Someone help me.
No, Adel, you're help, right. Help, also, help when you're making a grilled cheese, I put a little bit of butter, and then also, this is a chef's trick that I learned from chefs.
Chefs?
Chefries? Chefies.
The plural Chefies. Of chef is...
Aaron's having a stroke.
Chefries.
Chefries. You put a tiny bit of like veganaise or mayonnaise on the outside, and that's what gives it that like restaurant toasting on the outside of grilled cheese sandwiches.
Mayonnaise will crisp up your bread, but what it won't do is taste like butter. And here's the thing. Butter, that's the best. That's the best tasting thing.
Well, JPC, here's another example. You have like a pretty famous breakfast sandwich that you make, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean... It's been a while since I've made myself a breakfast sandwich that puts me fucking out for 4.5 hours. Usually I kind of like my weekends a little bit.
It's right, the weekender. Nap,
and it's 40 eggs inside pita bread.
But you like care about it. You're not like making shitty scrambled eggs. You're just not like to get it over with.
I think my dad energy is that I probably have like 8 to 10. Probably maybe a little more than 10 dishes that I can make really well, but I don't really stray outside of my comfort zone very much. Like if I'm not making like chili or a bolognese or like stuffed peppers or something bologna. Like that, stromboli. I'm not one of these guys who's like, I'm going to seek out a bunch of new recipes. Like I figured out how to cook like biscuits and gravy really well. And that's just like, now that's one of my things.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of dads, and it's different when you're a vegetarian, but they decide that the grill is their thing.
Yep. For sure.
Pitmaster. You get a backyard dad. That is, oh boy, you better not touch those tongs.
My backyard dad energy is I see somebody grilling and I go, hey, let me throw some veggie dogs on it. Ruin your fucking grill. Let these things drip down into the grill and just dissolve. Hey, I'm looking at these veggie dogs. They don't have grill instructions on them. Yeah, that's because they cannot be grilled. It will not work.
GPC, what are more of the things that you are great at cooking? So you said biscuits and gravies, the Weekender sandwich that makes you fall asleep for 100 years.
The Captain Snap.
I do love that Weekender sandwich. I make a mean butter tofu masala.
Butter tofu.
I make a bolognese.
Would you just say butter tofu? Is that from Doug?
That's Doug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wait. Hold on. Let me pop into this. I'll pop into this.
Aaron, aren't you glad you asked, did anybody eat any good food? This has been now like a 40-minute conversation. That's fascinating.
Even tell my mouth to say that. It just came out, and I was like, what's up? Freaking Aaron, talking about, weirdo?
Aaron, you shouldn't have said that. You should have told your mouth not to say that part. That's weird. You're weird.
I know.
I make a nice, and all of this is vegetarian, sausage, peppers, and onions. I make a nice, it's kind of like a farro,
Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun. We call it spabedos in my house, but it's basically any vegetables that we have and some farro. A nice creamy cauliflower pasta, which I will say is decadent. And Aaron, what I've been into lately on the weekends, since Aaron got me a waffle maker for Christmas or my birthday, who can remember, is doing some chicken on waffles.
Ooh.
Absolutely love. I found some chicken that they sell at Costco.
You turn Gemma onto that, and she's obsessed with it.
Skinny Butcher, I think, is what it's called.
Already fried chicken.
It's like fried. It's like fake fried chicken.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. And I will be honest, they didn't have it at Costco for a couple of months. Then I saw it again, and I think I bought 6 boxes. And I just filled my freezer with it because I was like, I'm not gonna get into a situation where they're not going to have this again. Like, if they're just going to stop selling it, I'm not going to fuck around. I even went to the company's website and tried to buy it. They're like, we only sell it to grocery stores. And I was like, what do you need for me to be a grocery store? What do I have to prove to you that I'm Jewel Osco?
You need me to make aisles? I'll make aisles.
I got space in my house. I'll put up aisles. okay, well, look, we can't fuck around because I think that this is a good start to the show. We all have a really good energy, right?
Yes.
You ready to ruin it?
I'm so, yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. I have a good energy and also I'm starving now.
I'm feeling a little weak. I'm a little lightheaded. I need food.
Maybe I'll put a disclaimer that you should just skip the first 15 minutes if you haven't had lunch yet. I'm about to ruin your guys' time because I was kicking around today. I'm old man puzzles and I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for riddles? And look what I saw out of the corner of my eyes. Huh?
What is
my God, I forgot about that.
It's the blue book, which tells us the current value of
it's been a while.
Lemon riddles.
It's been a while, my friends.
Fuck, did you wait till my brain fully forgot it to bring it back? I had probably 45 minutes of peace.
I popped in to the what I call the riddle library, which is a shelf of a bookshelf in my house. And I found this blue book and I said, you know what? It's got to be the blue book. And I'll tell you what, I looked through it. Some of the riddles that we're going to do today pissed me off. They're bad.
I think in the first episode, maybe, featured the blue book and then we buried it 10 feet underground. And then one day I opened my front door and it was sitting on my porch.
Whacked you in the head. It popped up off the porch.
Don't know how it got out of its grave.
Smacked me across the face.
Introduced me to its kids. It is a cursed object.
And a lot of times, and people have said, this is maybe one of the most, not requests that I get, but one of the most talked about things that I get from fans of the show is, what is the name of the blue book? They say, you just keep calling it the blue book, and we'll never say.
You cannot say it.
We'll never say.
To welcome evil into your home.
Some people have also found other blue books, and they were like, is this the blue book? And I'm like, I can tell you for sure it's not.
Oh, I'll say it. It's Stinky Stinky Riddle.
Aaron, no.
Sorry.
Stinky riddles for terrible people. All right, here you go. This one's really bad, but I love it. And as always, do remember that the blue book also has clues, so I can give you clues as well.
Okay, sorry.
Stinky riddles for shitty kids.
We have to do this just to invoke the book. Riddle book, riddle book, riddle book.
It's right behind you.
Hit me in the fucking head again. Here we go. Why was a man at a fairground blowing darts through a concealed blowpipe?
Listen, if someone wants to blow darts, and that's their business.
This is a book.
Why was a man at the fairground blowing darts? What was the last part?
Through a concealed blowpipe.
Through a concealed blowpipe.
Well, he's a man on the fairground and he's blowing darts.
He was a carnival ninja.
In the gutter because of that all. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just thinking about 69ing blow darts. And that's just not my fault.
Aaron, you keep poisoning yourself.
69ing blow darts.
Oh, well, I was 69ing darts.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That makes more sense. What was happening in this?
Was he a carnival ninja?
69ing darts barely makes more sense.
Whatever, man.
My favorite magnetic field song.
This is a man at a fairgrounds and he's blowing darts through a concealed pipe, and we got to figure out why he's doing this.
Okay, so... Okay, at a fairground, you assume it's going to be like a county or state fair. Aaron, what's at a county or state fair? We are trying to pitch a TV show that's the three of us at a county or state fair. So there's going to be, of course, fried foods. Yes, of course.
You got county fair.
Yeah.
You got state fair. And you got world's fair.
Yeah.
What about country fair? We don't have country
fairs. You're having a fair to remember.
There was a country fair. I was just
there's a country fair?
I forgot that one, Aaron. There's a country fair. It's Kenny Chesney.
Regional fair.
Yes, the regional fair. Renaissance fair.
Thomas Crown Affair.
The Thomas Crown Affair, of course.
I think we should look back into trying to do a tour of every single state fair as the three of us. I want to do that TV show.
I'm vibrating with excitement. That is my dream to travel to taste all the foods, to ride all the rides, to see all the sights at every state fair, and then write a review for Vulture, for Ringer, whatever it is, and just be
I want to throw up
ranked
in every state from a ride that I had no business riding.
Coca-Cola on a tilt-a-whirl.
I don't want to get too personal, but I have a rule that I live my life by, which is never give yourself diarrhea if you're in a place where that was going to be very inconvenient for you.
Too late.
Trust me, fool me once, shame on me. But I'm 34 at this point. I'm not trying to live my life like I'm a fucking young gun anymore.
JPC, I know the answer.
Eating fried Pepsi. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love to hear it, Aaron.
He was trying to pop a balloon in a game to discreetly win it for his kid or some bullshit
Yes.
Aaron, I would say that you are only correct in that it is some bullshit like that, but it is not quite that.
Okay.
But your brain is in
is correctly
right
broken.
Place. Yeah.
Okay, I know what's going on. Okay, I think I solved it. So this man is at the fairgrounds, and he went because he's a big, I think they call him gearheads. He likes cars. And he wanted to drive real fast, but his license is suspended. But he heard at the fair they had go-karts.
Okay.
And he knows that you don't have to have a license to drive a go-kart. So he's on the way there. And as he's there, you know that ride that's like a ship, a pirate ship that swings back and forth? It's like a pendulous swing momentum.
Yeah, you all get inside. It's like a little pendulum raised above the ground. Sure.
He dropped his hat. He blew under that. He got bonked on the head super hard. Didn't kill him. But his brains was scrambly.
Hold on.
And then what happened?
Did you say didn't kill him?
Didn't kill him.
All right, yeah, keep going. Sorry.
So he puts his hat back on, and suddenly he goes, he forgot that he was going to ride go-karts. He was like, yes, I'm here to blow darts. So in his head, he's like, blow darts. So he goes, grabs a little blowgun or whatever they're called.
Sure, yeah.
And he just starts blow darting everyone in the neck. Am I close? Am I right?
Did he get it?
You said the bump didn't kill him?
Well, it's much like Chernobyl, where it's like an invisible force, and they get exposed.
I was like, what are you
like,
about to say?
They're like, we're already dead. What the people who were there at Chernobyl, they knew they were dead, but it's just
because
a matter of time.
And they called it the invisible force, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, midichlorian. I think this is the legal, the medical term is midichlorian.
It's been retconned to midichlorian.
I'd like to see
a
scene. you are two grown men riding the bumper cars, and you're way too old to be there.
Can you believe this fucking traffic? What is going on?
Go around.
I can't. Hey, asshole. I can't go around. You're blocking the whole fucking. God damn it. What is going on?
Friend, I apologize. Is my signal not working?
Is your signal not working?
I'm trying to take a right. Let me use the hand signal.
Are you kidding me? It's 6 p.m. You can't be taking a right on this road at 6 p.m.
I got
to
get my
eggs. Bumper car to bumper car gridlock out here.
Bump. I bumped you.
Oh, my neck. My back.
I saw it all. Call the officers. I saw it all.
You're funny.
She T-boned him.
Let me get my... Oh, now I'm hungry. Let me get my insurance. Glove compartment is an opening. It doesn't seem like there is a glove compartment. Where did I put my insurance?
Bumped you again.
Oh.
Holy crap. This lady's ruthless.
I'm going to have to be bumper medevaced out of here. Call it a bumper medevac.
Let me hit my OnStar. Have him start calling for help. There's no goddamn OnStar in this. What the heck?
What is going on here?
What is going on here?
Bumped you again.
I really want you guys to get it because Aaron is so close. Do you want me to give you the clues?
Okay.
No one seemed enthusiastic for the clues.
Okay. Here's a guess. So it is the balloon pop game, and what it is it's like a sickly kid.
No, it's not
like
the balloon
dream
pop game.
Is to win the game, and so the host of the game, what do you call the people who run
You only
the
get
host?
One of these per riddle, and you already used it on the guy who bumped
you. Oh, trying to tranquilize an animal.
No, not an animal.
Oh.
Wow.
I'll give you the clues.
Tranquilize a clown.
No,
there's no tranquilizing here. Okay, so clue number one is he was secretly blowing darts at particular targets, and clue number two... His nefarious actions generated more sales at the fairground.
It's going to get him kicked out of Targets.
Amen.
Generated sales. Okay.
Popping tires. Popping
bottles.
Aaron, you were correct with what he was popping. You were just wrong for the why.
Oh, he's popping balloons.
Yes.
Oh, I see what's happening. He's going he's popping children's balloons so that the parents will go try and win them another one or buy them a new one.
Yes, he is popping balloons at the exit of the fairgrounds so that parents will have to go back in and buy their child another balloon.
That's the most evil thing I've ever heard. I do want to see a scene. Let's see here. JPC, you are my father. I'm a little child. We're exiting the fairgrounds. Aaron, you are Carnival Chaos. You are you are the most evil person alive, and you try and make sure we do not leave the carnival ground without spending a little bit more money.
Hey, buddy, that was a fun day, huh?
Yeah, really fun. I can't believe I won a stuffed animal. Look at my elephant, Daddy.
Uh-oh, dropped your ice cream.
Excuse me, sir, that wasn't our ice cream. Have a good day.
Oh, but didn't it look good before it dropped onto the ground?
Dad, it did look good. What kind of ice cream was that?
The Dippin' Dots. Oh, delicious. Eat some off the ground. Nom, nom, nom.
I can't recommend
it enough.
I'm sorry. Please, sir, don't eat the ice cream off the ground. My bad. I don't know if I bumped you when I was bending down to talk to my son. I'll buy you another ice cream.
Oh, no, buy yourself several. Uh-oh, a crazy guy strangling your new stuffed animal and ripping its head off. Ripping its head off.
Daddy, at least he has the self-awareness to call himself a crazy guy. That's progress.
Yeah, hey, Tommy, stay behind me, son. Stay behind me. Take the animal. Take the animal. You can have the stuffed animal. You can't quite. It looks like you're having some trouble getting the head off of it. You want me to start it up for you? I can kind of give you, if you could. Here you go. Just tearing a couple stitches. Here you go.
Yeah, you
might be a veterinarian.
Yeah, I'm a veterinarian.
He's used to ripping off animal heads.
You got the money to spend to buy more tickets. Turn back around. The sun even isn't set yet. It didn't even set.
We have to get to my wife's grave. We have to say our prayer before we head back home.
Oh, otherwise, I think I saw that here. I think it's here.
No, it's in a cemetery a couple miles from here. Yeah.
Are you sure? A lot of people die here.
Tommy, mom did die here, but she was not buried here.
Oh. Daddy, tell me how mommy died at the carnival again.
Well, we don't really know. all the police would tell me was that a crazy man ripped her head off.
After several attempts?
Was she dressed like a stuffed animal?
She actually worked here at the carnival. She was a stuffed animal greeter.
Oh, Janine. Janine's your wife.
You knew my wife. You knew my Janine.
She was the best at spilling kids' ice creams. No one better.
Oh.
But then she dressed up like a stuffed animal for Halloween one year. And you know how that went. Anyways, turn back around. Give me your wallets.
We got him on tape. He admitted it.
Rips open
chest, shows wire connected to a tape recorder.
Mom died in February.
Oh.
What's going on?
You can never catch me. I'm Carnival Chaos, baby. Fireball.
She just drank a shot of Fireball.
You go to escape and you just take a shot instead.
Did anything happen? Did I disappear? Goldschlager. Fireball.
We still keep coming to this carnival for God knows what reason. Hey, you know what? God knows what reason, and we have to take our little break to go and say our prayers, and we'll be right back after we've prayed to our respective gods.
GPC Adel, come in here quick.
Oh, Aaron, what's
going on, Aaron?
Haircut, would you, new makeup, what's going on?
No. I added new photos to my aura frame, and there's one of us coming up that I'm dying for you guys to see.
Okay.
We just got to wait a second.
This is you taking a bath? I don't know why this one's on here.
Oh, this is awesome. I love this.
It's mostly photos of me taking a bath in a full wetsuit, pretending that I'm sort of like exploring. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
Just wait for the photo.
And there's bags of rice that say JPC Natal on them.
Doesn't matter. Don't look too closely at those photos.
It's like Scuba Steve from
not Billy Madison.
Big Daddy.
Scuba Steve is from Big Daddy. Big Daddy.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. And I'm not a mom, but I love an Aura frame too. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. And I'm not one of Oprah's favorite things, but I love Aura frames. And Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. My mom has one. Your mom has one. All of our moms have one. And they love them.
You can use your finger to swipe across the top. Okay, so this is like a professional photo shoot. Who's taking the pictures of you in the wetsuit in the bath?
Don't ask questions.
From Aura to Oprah, everyone loves this frame. And true story, I gave my mom one last year, like you were saying, Aaron. I gave her one for her birthday. She is obsessed. And here's the fun part is Gemma and I have an app where we can add photos on our phones to my mom's frame. And she lives hours away. And that's fun and enjoyable.
This is, you're still in the wetsuit, but now you're at like a child's birthday party? Like whose birthday party is it? Were you hired to be here in a wetsuit? It doesn't seem wetsuit themed.
And don't
stop asking questions.
You called us in here.
And don't be concerned about your parent or relative figuring it out. It takes 2 minutes to set up a frame using Aura app. Literally 2 minutes. It's very simple.
I know that this is confusing because of what we're saying, but you can choose the photos that you put on the Aura frame. It doesn't choose for you or make your friends scroll through hundreds of photos of you at this birthday party.
I handpicked these.
Not only can you choose them, but there's also a private feature. You have complete control over who has access to your frame, and the Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which many other digital frames require. Oh, Aaron, I just got a notification here in my Aura app that you want to share with me all your photos. Here.
Aaron.
Send them to everyone.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Riddle at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, here it is. It's the photo of all of us. Nope, it's bags of rice with our name written on them.
Do you love it?
I want to leave.
Amen.
Amen.
Magluba.
Mm-hmm. Who'd you guys pray to this time?
You.
Aaron, I prayed to you.
You did not answer back. You didn't.
Aaron, I prayed to you.
Back. What'd you say? What'd you ask for?
More wishes.
Oh.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
You wouldn't know, Adel, you're an atheist. Fuck you.
Well, I tried something new and I prayed to Gaia, a.k.a. Ooh. Mother Earth, a.k.a.
Okay.
Whoopi Goldberg and Captain Planet. And I think it went pretty well because my garden out back grew 10 inches.
Good eye. Is it 10-inch sirloin steak?
That's not 10 inches. That's 10 inches.
Are you guys ready for a history question?
No.
This is a riddle from this, I guess, book of riddles. Here we go. This one's called History Question. What happened in London on September 8th, 1752?
And this
the
is
the riddle is, okay. Again, the riddle is, what happened in London on September 8th, 1752? That's the riddle.
I think I know the answer.
Please.
I want to say 13 to 15 people got pickpocketed. I want to say there was probably some sort of shouting match in the town square. I'm guessing Parliament met up to pass some sort of law. I assume there was
Parliament 1752.
A few horses who kicked
probably some Parliament
people
there.
And they died.
Okay.
What else, Aaron?
Someone said, "Isn't it nice that it's been 7 years since the war?" That's what someone said. And then someone else said, "It isn't it nice that we still have a few more years before another war?" And not sure said, how many.
And somebody said, "I need 6 eggs."
That's too expensive.
That must
that's,
be.
That was in France.
Oh, that's France. France.
I don't know. I mean, if you're in France or London, you're only a few years away either way from another war. So it's like
always
pretty safe that there was a war happening.
JPC, is it something like Charles Dickens wrote one of his fucking books?
No, it's nothing like Charles Dickens wrote one of his fucking books. Now, I'll tell you what. This one sucks a big fucking egg, and I will give you the clues, and I'll give them to you for free.
So I'm guessing we don't have all the information we need to answer this.
I mean, you could
the
get
the calendar
lucky.
Changed to that date, like something
Aaron.
Shit like that.
Aaron.
Gregorian?
Yes, Aaron. You are so fucking close.
Daylight savings time was invented.
Daylight savings. You're so close, Aaron, that I feel like I might as well just give it to you because you said the word calendar, and I... Well, here, let me give you the clues and see if maybe you can get it, get what happened here.
September 8th,
1752.
A day that shall live
in infamy. So clue number one, September 8th, 1752 is a very unusual day, but there were 10 other days like it.
Wait. September?
Okay. Adel, you're saying wait. I'm seeing you do something. Whatever you're doing can't be right.
So it's descending. It's the first time in history there's been descending numbers. So it's September, which is 9. 8th, which is 8. And then it's
and then a break.
But then it's back with 7. The 7 and 17. We're back, baby. Then we, of course, skip a number as per the London mathematics.
They call that London Skipsies.
Yep, London Skipsies. So we skip 6. We're back to 5. Of course, 5 minus 3 is 2.
Because we skip 6.
Solved.
Calendar is my guess.
Aaron says calendar. Adel said some insane bullshit. here's your next clue.
Okay.
No significant wars, births, deaths, disasters, achievements, or discoveries happened in London that day.
Can you imagine you're born September 8th, 1752.
Mm-hmm.
300 years later, some riddle book says there were no significant births that day. What a slap in the fucking face.
Hearing that, especially at your old age, might be enough to kill you.
Adel, you were born that year. How does it make you feel?
Aaron, you are incorrigible.
Go around.
No, but seriously, Adel, you're old as fucking dust and dirt and death, so please tell us the answer to this riddle.
Methuselah.
Aaron, okay, so you okay, I'm giving it to Aaron. Aaron kind of got it. She said one of the words that is part of this answer, calendar. So that counts. Your answer is
absolutely
nothing.
Standards for me are so low here. I absolutely love it. I can do basically the bare minimum and everyone's like, yay!
Yeah. Now, if it were your dad here, we would demand perfection. We wouldn't let him cut corners on a tuna melt, if you know what I'm saying. That's my new phrase.
Yes, an answer with love and a side of chips with a big old smile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was.
So the answer is absolutely nothing happened in London on that day. It was one of the 11 days dropped when the old calendar was adjusted to the new calendar.
It was one of 11 days dropped? So hold on. In London, you're telling me in London or in England? You're telling me in London and England? You're telling me there's no September 8th?
I think what happened was they had a year where in order to like fix the calendar, they were like, okay, so these 11 days don't exist for that year.
Wow. So not only are you being made fun of 300 years in the future by saying there's no notable births, but from that point forward, you don't have a birthday anymore. It goes from September 7th to September 9th.
Let me go ahead and check. Let me just check the part of this book that explains these shitty riddles. Let me just double check. Oh, I guess they left it out of this copy. Must have a defective copy here where they just left out that part of information. Let me just check my notes to see what when I read it earlier, what I found when I Googled it. Oh, I guess I didn't fucking do that, did I? Because gives a shit?
Old-timey England's out here dropping dates.
Mm-hmm.
They're omitting, they're deleting days of the year.
They're just trying to delete their enemies' birthdays. Oh, no.
Adel, you're going to be playing a dad. Aaron, you are going to be playing a child.
My third dad of the episode.
Were you a child last season and I was the dad?
Fuck you. Hold on. We all know in that scene, ever since you lost your wife, I had to raise you. It was clear from the context clues.
That's true. I mean, that's so a Gutenberg funny. Vehicle right there. Steve Gutenberg is a child. okay, old dad. Aaron, you're going to be playing a child. Adel, you're going to be playing a dad. You've just received a letter, Adel, from the, let's call it the federal government.
Sure.
Saying that your child's birthday has been removed from the calendar, and you have to break that news to Aaron.
Hey, champ.
So I figured we could put the streamers up over here and then pin the tail on the donkey here for tomorrow. And then people come and then we'll do presents and then we'll do cake.
Yeah.
And then people will sing happy birthday. Yeah.
Hey, big guy. Hey, buddy. How are you? Hey, you're so handsome.
Thanks. Taller than I've ever been. And
yeah.
Looking to make a single friend.
That's not what handsome means.
Oh.
handsome has nothing to do. Well, I guess it does at a certain age. Listen, buddy.
What?
We need to take down the small amount of decorations we put up already. We need to take down, and we need to cancel the magician and the donkey, and we need to return the Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
Because it's a fun birthday prank.
Well, yes and no. It seems like, you know how you're 11 and you're about to turn 12?
Hell yeah.
Well, it seems like, and this is something I truly think all adults wish for, you're going to be eternally 11, buddy, okay? You're never going to get older. You're not going to age ever. You're going to be 11 for the rest of your life until the day you die. Because the government says that we no longer have tomorrow.
Dad, is this about you being sad that I'm growing up? Don't worry, I'll always be your sweet little son.
No, I know that. I know that for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure. Big old pat on the head, scratch the back of your neck or whatever dads do to kids.
Ow!
I need to trim my nails, sorry. Sorry about that. Yes, it's about...
Mom! It's... Dad saying that I'm not having a birthday or something?
Shut up.
Hey, no. What's going on in here?
Hey, Linda, thanks for joining. I was just telling our special guy that his birthday is no longer a thing. Because the government said, not because I lost my job, but because the government said that June 15th is no...
Again?
What?
Linda, what's this all about?
We need to cut corners. Don't call your mom Linda.
Talk to me, Linda.
I raise you. You don't raise me. Don't talk to your mom by her first name.
Look, your dad is unfortunately right. Okay, I'm reading it now. Yeah, we did get a letter here from the government.
Linda, at least hold a piece of fucking paper. Don't do object work.
Linda, okay, I'm sorry.
Cut it to me straight. Linda. Just
look,
be honest with me,
no,
Linda.
The government says your asshole dad who can't hold down a fucking job.
Let me see that.
Or shave or clip his nails. Because of over allocation in the budget, they've had to cancel some birthdays this year, honey, and yours got canceled as well.
And I don't trim my nails because I'm a professional cocaine.
Linda, it's time to leave him. Enough is enough, Linda, don't you think?
Think about leaving them both, honestly.
Both who? Both me?
Actually, Mikey Phantasm and a donkey are in a Camaro right outside, and Linda might just be hopping in and spending
Linda,
the rest
no!
of life with a magician on the road.
You ordered Mikey Phantasm, the sexiest magician in all of Milwaukee?
Sometimes birthdays are for mommies, too.
Ew, scene!
I love that you tell your child, I'm thinking of leaving both of them. Wait, I'm one of the two.
I don't know. I don't calling a parent by their first name.
If it's a step parent, I could understand a step parent.
A step parent, yeah.
I get a laugh every time I do it because you have to do it rarely though. So
yeah.
I'll call my mom's technical first name is Mary, but everyone has called her Mary Beth her whole life. But I'll answer the phone and go, "Hi, Mary," and it makes her laugh. I don't think it's disrespectful if I'm getting a laugh.
You know what? If you're an adult, I think it's also a little bit different, too. Like, you know, adult Aaron calling your adult mom Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do if we're out to eat with my mom and she says, oh, can I get the ravioli? And there's no ravioli on the menu. And the waiter's like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have ravioli or something.
What is this situation? She's ordering off menu?
She'll accidentally think she saw something or whatever.
Got it.
It is.
Okay, sure.
But she'll say whatever, and I'll turn to my sister and go, Patty thinks she's in a restaurant again to make her seem like she's in an old folks home, which is
that's funny.
Very cruel.
Okay,
but my mom gets
that
a big kick
level
out
of gaslighting to the person who birthed you is very cool and funny.
It's
very
cool.
Love that kind
very
of joke.
Good stuff.
Moms are the worst, right?
She gave me everything and I refuse to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She made your bones. Keep that in mind about your mom. I mean, moms suck, and you can hate your mom if you need to, but...
She made my bones, but I strengthened them by drinking so much milk. And Sean, here's what I'll say. I bet Sean could get punched by an elephant, and he would not have... Nary a bone would break. He's so fortified with vitamin D and calcium.
Yeah, he has no muscle. It's all just bone. Bone, bone, bone.
He's like Wolverine.
Last time I was at dinner with my grandma, she tried to pay for it. And I said, no, grandma, I will get this. And then I looked at it. And then I put the check down on the table and I looked at my grandma and I said, run. And then I got up out of the booth and ran as fast as I could for the exit. But of course, she didn't move. And so I made a big scene. I walked back over there and go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
And then I put my card in and I gave it to the waiter and I said, sure. This'll bounce.
I hope you're happy.
Grandma can't run with her two replaced knees.
A credit card would bounce. Sir, your Visa bounced.
Sir, we've tried to run your Visa. There's a kill order out for you.
We tried to cash your debit card and...
All right, here we go. Did we get that last one? Oh, yeah, it was the stupid calendar one. Sorry. Hey, sorry. Not my fault. Fuck you.
I will say, hands down, the worst riddle we've ever had on this podcast.
Man, we're probably not going to get to it, but there's a worse one. There's a worse one coming up. Here we go. These are all just like one sentence riddle. These are awful. These are all just like, why? Here we go. A man bought two identical signs, but found that he could use only one of them. Why? Here's the thing. I looked up how to do this. I looked up the answer to this. I looked up the clues. I don't get it. So it's...
There's only one sign on this lawn. Only one sign allowed on this lawn.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I was thinking something along the lines of like the one and only, the original Plymouth Rock or something. Because it's like if you use both, then that means it's on two different sites.
Yeah. When we were in San Francisco recently, I walked past a place that had a big banner outside that said, the original Eggs with Benedict's. And I said, oh, wow, what? Two people had that shitty idea for a restaurant and they were like fighting over it. Insane.
And JBC, I'm not going to tell you again. If you see a big banner, it's technically the Hulk because mm-hmm. Banner is small. And when he gets big, he becomes the Hulk. I'm not going to tell you again.
I saw a Hulk that said eggs with Benedict's. Okay, why not?
Thank you.
Why not? Here are your clues for this one. I want this one to be over with. He had intended to use the two signs in two places to give the same message, but he found that didn't work. He was advertising his roadside cafe.
He was intending to use the two signs to send the same message, you said?
They're identical signs. Yep.
Turn left.
Aaron, I love turn left because it's a roadside cafe and he can't put that on both sides of the street because it would be a left and a right. That's a better answer and I'm tempted to just accept it.
Is it something like exit now?
Yeah, I mean, it could be like any. I don't know why he would have... Why he would have bought like the identical signs that said turn left, like unless he just fundamentally misunderstood directions when he was placing the sign order. But
is it like cafe 2 miles ahead or something? Is it something with a specific instruction that once repeated loses its mathematics?
No,
its accuracy.
Look, I don't know. I mean. I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, you tell me if this makes any sense. Okay, here's the answer.
Yes.
He bought two identical signs for his cafe.
Twins.
But he found that he needed two different ones for the two sets of traffic coming in different directions.
Ew.
Hmm.
So the sign said Fred's Cafe and Fred's Cafe, but I don't really understand why that would be. Is like one backwards? Is that what they're saying? He needed one to be backwards and one forwards?
I don't get this at all.
I don't get that. I could understand if it said like, if there's like two different turnoffs on the, depending on which direction you were heading, but.
Here's what I'll say. That one I apologize for because I did read that, didn't understand it and said, why not keep going? But I will say, if you are a listener and you know like what the Fred's Cafe like what the answer is, because we don't understand it, but if you understand what the answer is, here's what I'll say. Keep it to your fucking self. Don't tell people this. Yeah. Don't tell people that you know the answer to the thing that nobody understands. That's not a cool thing for you to know.
Don't brag about listening to this podcast. JBC, no. before we move on, can I hear the answer
If someone
one more
catches
time?
You listening to this podcast, you say, I was masturbating. Because that is always going to be less embarrassing.
Were you listening to him alone? No. I swear, I was masturbating.
I was jerking off.
No, I'm not a fucking pervert. I was jerking off.
I was jerking off to Antiques Roadshow, I swear.
I was buttering my biscuit. I wasn't doing anything of the sort of a podcast. Podcast.
Can I hear the answer one more time? Just because I won't be able to sleep at night.
Do you really want me to say the answer?
Yeah,
yes,
I do.
It's actually
bothering me.
He bought two identical signs for his cafe, but found that he needed two different ones for the two sets of traffic coming in different directions.
So probably there were some sort of vehicular instructions on the signs.
Yeah, that's why I think my left and right thing makes the most sense, though.
It just says Fred's Cafe and Fred's Cafe. That's all the signs say.
That doesn't make sense, JPC. Read it again. Read the answer again.
No! No, goddammit! No!
We're missing
something.
Like
scary ballet teachers from
one more time. One more time. Here we go.
This is our Sisyphean task, is to roll this riddle up the hill over and over.
Okay, one more time. This is the last time I'm reading it. This riddle is called Paper Tiger. A man writes the same number and nothing else on 20 sheets of paper. Why?
Going insane. Going crazy.
Yeah, this is a crazy man. Show me crazy man.
He's like, it's his phone number and he's giving it out to people for guitar lessons.
Aaron, that is an excellent fucking answer. I think that this book was probably invented before guitar lessons.
I should write a riddle book.
Aaron.
But I don't want to write the riddles. I want to write the bullshit answers. What? Huh? What?
Now, Aaron, the man writes the same number and nothing else on 20 sheets of paper. So there is nothing else on it. But I do understand how, like, you know, you have, like, the flyer and then the bottom half is, like, the perforated tear-outs that are just the phone number. But there's nothing else on any of the paper. So it's just the same number.
Is the answer John Patrick Cohen and he's perfecting his technique in writing 420?
Wow. And it's in a notebook, and he keeps like circling it and putting hearts around it.
And he's in 10th grade, and he's, he keeps
writing. I'm ready. Sorry, go ahead.
For some clues?
Yeah, for some hints.
I'll take a clue.
Okay. Wow, but you already
give Adel his own clue and give me my own clue because I don't like to share.
Here's one. A clue for Adel, a clue for Aaron, and then a clue just for me, okay?
Aaron's clue is longer than mine.
The new baby keeps taking my clues. I mean, Adel keeps taking my clues.
Adel, here's your clue.
Yes.
The sheets of paper were important. He wrote the numbers in ink. Aaron, here's your clue.
The sheets of paper were important? What the fuck does that mean? Of course they're important.
That's your clue. That's sorry, but you can't use Aaron's.
And what was the other part? The ink was...
He wrote the numbers in ink. Ink and the sheets are important. Aaron, here you go. Yours is, he intended to keep the papers for his later personal use. And then my clue is he did this each year at a certain time of year.
Okay, this is a teacher, and he's grading finals, and he wrote the number 100 on all 20 exams because he wants everyone to pass. He doesn't. He cannot teach Devin again. Devin has taken this class 3 times. He will not teach Devin again. So everyone gets 100, so there's no hanky-panky.
You can't teach Devin, dude.
All right, Aaron. Smart guy. We're going to see a scene.
Devin teaches you.
Adel, you are a teacher. This is your third year that you have had Devin in your class.
Yeah.
Aaron, you are playing Devin. Devin keeps failing and having to repeat your class, and you just want Devin out.
Okay, and so... once again, I'm asking,
teach.
What is the... Yes, Devin.
Catch this!
You sneezed on me, and I told you I cannot catch a cold. I have
catch
had
it.
My flu booster.
And,
Devin?
Skateboarding. It knocks over some of the books.
You're skateboarding while sitting in your desk. That is the most dangerous thing I've ever seen.
You're being distracting to the rest of the class, sir. Let the people learn.
Okay, anyway, once again, I'm asking, does anyone know the name of the island that has the giant stone heads? Are you making a call? Okay, so
Mr. Gregory, Devin's taking a phone call.
I'm making a phone call, idiot.
If you're calling my wife again, I swear to Christ.
I'm ordering a pizza.
Yes, my wife works at Domino's, I've told you.
Yeah. She's so sweet, your wife. I love your wife. She's so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Where was I?
The normal? The normal?
The normal.
The normal?
Put a little
one of our specialties.
Take that off speakerphone.
Why? Teach your thing or whatever the shit you do is.
Devin, give me that phone. Folds it shut. Realizes it wasn't a folding phone.
I
owe you a phone. Well, I used to work at a carnival. I owe you a phone. I'm sorry. I thought that was a flip phone. It was not. I just crushed your Samsung Galaxy, I wouldn't say.
Here, go sit. Go sit in one of the little seats.
What?
So, the question is...
No. No, Devin, you're not a teacher.
Tom Sawyer so freaking...
Devin,
yes?
Geography.
Devin, yes?
Mr. Gregory's not in his seat.
Mr. Gregory, you heard him.
Sit down.
You're old enough to be a teacher doesn't mean you can teach this class, okay? You flunked this so many times that you are now legally 19.
That's strike two, okay? And if you mouth off to me one more time, you're getting sent to the assistant principal's office. And that place smells terrible.
Mr. Gregory, back in the principal's office once again.
Yeah.
What is it this time?
Father, it's the same thing that keeps happening. It's Devin.
Look, just because I'm your dad doesn't mean you can be formal with me. It's Principal Gregory.
Sorry, Principal Gregory. Devin did that thing again where he mentally manipulates me to where I'm the student, he's the teacher. He just slowly starts to move towards the front of the class, and I, mimicking him like a planet does the sun, starts to follow that axis until I'm suddenly seated, and he has all the power, all the control.
Look, I know. He's good at it, okay? I used to be the janitor of this school until he replaced me with the principal. But there's nothing I can do about his magic powers.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. I think we need to kill Devin.
Kill Devin? By the holy ghost,
no, sorry, name. Sorry, Dad. I meant we need to go back to your hometown in Ireland, Kildevin, and just get away from this kid. That's what I meant. Go back
a vacation.
To
Kildevin. That's all we need is a vacation.
Well, are you from Kilkenny or Kildevin?
Hold on, let me check the old passport. Huh. Says I'm from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's right. Devin tricked me into talking
boys.
Like this.
Boys. What are you doing in the assistant principal office? Go back to class, the both of you.
Back to
class. And you, turn up the volume on the Irish accent, because that's where you're from, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Scene. It sounded like an Irish man drowning.
Sorry, I just watched The Banshees of Inisherin, and I am ready to go, baby.
Sound like Animal from The Muppets was Irish.
Is that why you threw all your fingers at my front door this morning? JP.
Hey, Aaron, that was most, but that was not all.
Oh, well, I'll leave you alone, I guess.
Girl, I got fingers for days. Do you guys have an answer for this riddle?
I have an answer.
Yes.
I believe The Banshees of Inisherin was an analogy for the infighting between Northern and Southern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. They love to call it Southern
and
Ireland.
And I think it was about Hey Riddle Riddle. You're both Brendan Gleeson Southern and I'm Ireland. Colin Farrell. And I'm like, hey guys. And you're like, you're so dull. All you do
donkey.
Is talk all day.
I'm absolutely the donkey.
The donkey's so cute.
Oh, Jenny. Kind of.
Okay.
Well, hold on. With spoiler alert, retroactively.
Okay, so we'll say Aunt Jenny, and then you'll hear
that'll
two
do it,
bleeps.
I think.
Sorry, I started talking about Forrest Gump. You two were talking about Banshees of Inisherin.
Okay. The man writes the same number, nothing else, 20 sheets of paper. Sheets are important. He wrote the numbers in ink. He intended to keep the papers for later personal use, and he did this each year at a certain time.
I have an answer.
I mean, Adel, you have an answer.
Can we add something new to the... Can we add a new shirt to the merch store that just says sheets are important? And it's a ghost without a sheet, which would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blank space where there should be a ghost, but without a sheet, it's nothing. So sheets are important in the ghost world, in the afterlife.
We can add the shirt that says the sheets if we can start adding fitted turkey to the merch store as well.
Reading is important. Sheets
live
are important.
Live turkeys on
Wishbone
the merch
Wishbone is in
store.
Hell.
No.
This riddle, I will say, actually kind of makes sense. Like I can definitely see like there being like a test case that this would make sense for.
Is it like
and I'm also
an
a little bit guilty
or something?
I'm sorry. No, it's not an anniversary.
Was this person writing the same number on 20 pieces of paper hoping to pare it down to two signs for a cafe?
No, it was not that.
Okay. I thought it was maybe a companion piece.
And it's not even that these papers are like important to this man, but they are like if you found one of these pieces of paper, you would be like, oh no, this is someone actually really needs this.
Okay, I know what it is.
Yes.
You know when you run in like a marathon and you have like a piece of paper on your chest and on your back that has a number?
Uh-huh.
There was a person who ran in a marathon who was so big. They were, I want to say, 12 foot 10 and full of muscle. And
Jesus.
So they had to
Jesus
put
Christ.
So many pieces of paper on this person because they're
sure.
so, it was like Paul Bunyan-esque. Does that make sense? Is that the answer?
I'd like to see
a
scene.
Oh, God. I was not listening. Yes, of course it was the answer, you brilliant boy.
Thank you, Maddie. Finally, I'm the boy.
Adel, you are a man running in a marathon. You also happen to be someone's father, but that's not the point of the scene.
So, Aaron, you might say I'm a marathon man.
Oh.
Wink, big old smile. Sandwich
JBC,
made of love.
You are also someone running in it, but you don't have a number, and Adel's calling you out for not having a number.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get off the, if you're not in the marathon, get off the course.
I am in the marathon.
Where's
I'm in the marathon.
Number?
I just don't.
Where's your number? Where's your number?
I don't have my number. Come on, man.
What the fuck are you doing?
Can we just enjoy this little break and stretch our quads and our hammies? I don't have my number.
This isn't a break. I just stopped to yell at you. There's no breaks in a marathon. What do you think this is, a NASCAR? You think this is like the pit crew changing your legs?
There's not breaks in a marathon. I mean, you can take breaks if you want, like at your own pace.
No.
I'm just trying
to
finish.
Right. No, you're right. You can stop whenever you want. But
yeah.
I wouldn't say that's a break in the Well, I guess it's a break for you. But there are no designated breaks in a marathon. 12 people just passed me. I'm losing because you decided not to wear a number. What the? You think you're special?
I didn't decide not to wear a number. And no, I don't think I'm special. I had my number on the way to the marathon, but I was attacked by actually two crows, and they took the front number and the back number.
Oh, I'm sorry. You should have led with that.
Well,
was it, I want to say, Adam Dershowitz? Is that his name? The guy who dated, like, Courtney
Alan
Cox?
Alan Dershowitz?
No. What's that guy's name? Adam Dershowitz, the guy who dated Courtney Cox.
I'd watch it
Jennifer
because
Aniston.
He's very litigious.
No, of course.
Alan Dershowitz grabbed my number and said I was not on the flight logs. And ran, there he is. I know you were on those flight logs.
Scene. Yay.
What is that guy's name? Yeah. He dated like
Adam,
every celebrity in the 90s.
I feel like it's Adam Dershowitz.
It could be Adam Dershowitz. Are you thinking of Fred Dershowitz?
Yes.
We lost our internet privileges, so we will never know.
Fred Dershowitz. Okay, that's a
character. I did it all for the nookie.
Keep that in my back pocket. Did you get this yet? No, you didn't get this yet.
I think we give up.
20 numbers. The paper is important.
Yeah. So the other thing, the other crucial clue, we'll have to move on. But he did this each year at a certain time of year. And I will say it's the very beginning of the year.
Okay. So it's January 1st.
Mm-hmm. Let's call it January 1st.
Call it January 1st. He was making a terrible calendar?
In a way, in a matter of speaking...
I just threw
Aaron's
my hands
up
in the up. Air. I gave up.
Okay.
Aaron's given up. I will tell you the answer. And the answer is he was writing the new year on all of his checks so that he would not accidentally put last year's date on his checks by accident.
Okay.
Fuck
that. That doesn't happen
you.
Anymore.
You know, it is, I think I've probably told this on the podcast before, but I was working for a person who was from Australia once, and they sent me a check, and they do the dates reverse. They put we put the month first and then the day of the week, and they had swapped it. So when I tried to cash this check, I took it to the bank, and they were like, hey, this check has been expired. Like, it's 8 months. You have to, like, cash these immediately. And I was like, I just got it. The person's from Australia who sent it to me. They do their dates different. And the bank was like, we can't cash this.
There's
but the
no
person
30th
was already,
month. Yeah.
Yeah, but the... Well, no. It was so that it was like 1-8 or 8-1, right? Like,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
one
right.
of those things. So it was just
I
like...
I feel like most of the world does that.
Exactly. But they wouldn't, and I was in like college and they wouldn't cash it. And I was like, what the fuck do I do? And so I just went home with a pen, like a same black pen, and then
Ooh.
Just like forged the date to make the date right.
We got them.
I was like, this is technically check fraud, but it's like, but it's my money and it's right. Like,
rips off
so anyway,
shows recording device.
Statute of limitations has to be up on that, right? There's got to be like a 5-year statute of limitations.
For check forgery? No, no, no.
Look, I know that we're coming in against the wire, but Casey, do we have a voicemail that we can listen to?
We're out of riddles. Send voicemails faster. Send us voicemail. Voicemail. Master of voicemail. Now wait for the page. Voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey, Clue Crew. Wow, I can't do English today. Little bit of advice, I'm wondering. So, I had a phone call with my boss earlier before I got off work, and we were talking about scheduling, and right before I hung up the phone, I told him I loved him. Now, my real question is, do I quit my job now or do I give him 2 weeks' notice? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, interesting. I've never in my life heard someone ask a question leading with a little bit of advice, I'm wondering.
Made sense to me. Did he say it back? Did he say it back?
I hope you hung up and your boss was stunned and goes, I guess I've loved you too. I think I've always loved you. Just dial tone.
Here's okay.
And he quit?
There's two ways to get out of this, I think. One, you call him back, or next time you see him, you say, at least I didn't call you daddy. And that's and we all laugh.
No,
we all
no, no.
laugh.
No.
We all laugh.
It's very
Aaron.
Aaron, this is
all laugh.
A little bit of advice, I'm wondering. The other way to get out of this is you say, next time you see him, you say, hey, you never responded to that game we started. And they go, what game? And you say, I thought we were going to start listing different international museums. I started with the Louvre, of course, famously in Paris, France. Mm. You didn't respond because I gestured to you go now.
I think you should quit.
And then they feel dumb. Hold on, Aaron. And then they feel dumb.
You show up and say, did you end up liking it? And they go, what? And go, I love you, man. The movie that we were talking about. Did you end up liking
Jason
the movie?
Segel.
Jason Segel.
All right.
Of course.
I think you should quit today.
Yeah. Don't give 2 weeks' notice. 2 weeks' notice is a myth.
It depends
on where
you work.
Your work wouldn't give you 2 weeks' notice. Anyway, that's great advice. And that riddle, that
sound
or
advice.
That's sound advice because it was, we did make sounds. That was probably from like 7 months ago. So I hope you found a better job.
Or maybe they're married.
Or maybe you're married to your boss. Speaking of being married to your boss, Adel, is there anything that you would like to plug?
Oh, boy. Just tell everyone you love them. Your boss, your coworkers, your friends, your family, people on the bus. Spread more love. Don't be embarrassed to say it. And if you say to someone like, hey, I love you, and they say, sounds good, that's fine. You don't need to hear it back. People don't need to reciprocate love, but you can put love out into the universe, and it'll eventually come back to you. Now, it may be years from now, could be decades, could be a date that was erased by the British, but eventually love will come back to you. Also, please check out The Banshees of Inisherin and all of Martin McDonagh's work. I feel like Martin McDonagh is our generation's greatest playwright. If you've never seen or read Pillow Man,
Martin McDonagh is our generation's Colin Farrell.
Exact. Thank you. So that's what I would say. Aaron, do you have anything to plug?
I just went on the Those Who Aren't podcast, and I had the absolute best time. I don't think I've laughed that hard ever in my life, maybe. My stomach still hurts from laughing so hard on the podcast.
In front of us. Okay.
You are so funny. You're both so funny. I really think that. I love it here. I love you both. Oh, shoot. I said I love them. I have to quit. I quit.
Good.
But it's so good. And it has lots of Chicago and LA improvisers who have been on as guests. So if you don't want to check out my episode, just check it out. It's so, so good. JPC, can you read a review of our show, a 5-star review, please?
Hey, first I want to give a shout out to a listener from Australia named, and they gave me permission to use their name, named Dan Cubank. Dan Cubank sent us, I want to say like sweatshirt ponchos.
Mm-hmm.
From
a company.
Oh, that's who sent those?
Yeah, from a company called, and I texted you about it, from a company called Udi's in Australia, and they are so fucking warm, and we were so confused as to who sent them, but then they sent a message several days later being like, hey, by the way, I did send you these things. So big thank you to Dan for those. Those are fantastic.
Two things I'll say very quickly. One, Australia, of course, is known as the Magluba, down under, upside down. And two, I would thank you so much for that gift. It looks so comfortable. I haven't worn it yet because Gemma won't take it off. So if Gemma's listening, please take off that comfy blanket hoodie so I can try it.
I just heard her yell, never!
With a cup to the door. I also have a 5-star review to read. If you want to get a 5-star review read on the podcast, just submit a 5-star review to Apple iTunes or wherever you leave reviews. This one comes from Alex Parrish. Alex writes, JPC almost caused me a great personal inconvenience. Hi, love the show. I just want JPC to know that he did his very funny Hey Siri bit while I was driving, causing Siri to block my GPS, which made me miss a crucial turn on my delivery route. I had to drive an extra 2 miles to be able to turn around. Thank you for that. Very funny show. Keep up the good work. Hey Siri, delete my phone. Delete every number in my phone. Delete all my contacts.
Jupiter, Jupiter. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, I'm trying.
Hey Siri, fold my phone in half. Bye forever.
Sorry, Aaron Keith.
Hey there, man dogs and dog pods. If you like that, you are going to love this week's Patreon. It's another classic chatterbox, except this time we brought Ryan Rosenberg and Dan Lippert from the Man Dog Pod along for the ride. You can listen to that plus our entire back catalog at patreon.com/heyriddleriddle by joining the Clue Crew for $5 a month or the Review Crew, and you get those ad-free episodes for $8 a month. See you there.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.